Is your tablet with you, bro?
Well, thank you, Freddie. Yes. It's good to be here. Good to see you all your lovely smiling faces. Oh, well, let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, it has come to us from a long way away, many years ago, but it's still here with us. And we thank you, Lord, that it still speaks to us today because it's your word and you speak to us through it. So pray, Lord, that you will help us open our eyes and our hearts to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at a passage from 1 Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians. Corinth was a town noted for its immorality, we probably know, but there was a Christian church there, a Christian community, and Paul wrote to them. And we're going to look at verse 6 onwards. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. So my version is a little bit different from yours, but I think you can follow it. It says, now these things, he's talking about things that happened to Israel. He listed them earlier on. He says, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. He's got a long list of things that they got into, which we should avoid. He says, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. That's one thing. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Well, it's not very encouraging, is it? But he's saying, beware, be careful. Don't do what they did. Maybe something similar might happen to you. Maybe that's the message here. The one that speaks to me most at the moment is the last one. Don't grumble. I've got a lot to grumble about at the moment, but I'm trying not to grumble. Don't grumble. And in verse 11 it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Interesting passage. No temptation. This word temptation can have two meanings. It can mean simply temptation to sin. As we read that Jesus in the wilderness was tempted by the devil. He was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days. And rather surprisingly, it says at the end he was hungry. And the devil came and tempted him. Turn the stones into bread. Do this, do that. Jesus was tempted. So that in a way answers one of my first questions. Is it a sin to be tempted? Is it? When you're tempted, is that a sin? How do we know? Because Jesus himself was tempted, yet without sin, the Bible tells us. So that's telling us Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. And because he overcame, we can overcome. His strength can be ours. We can overcome in the same way. So temptation can be a temptation to sin. Temptation can be simply a test. A difficult time you're going through. A difficult experience you're having can be a test. What's it testing? What's being tested? Our faith. Our faith is being tested. Maybe our strength as well. How long can we hang on? Our faith is being tested. So testing times come as well. Two kinds of testing. Some things are both. Some things are a temptation to sin and at the same time a test of our faith. Are you going to give in or not? Will you stand firm? Will you resist? Will you give in? Temptations come to us all. And this is what it says here. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So I don't know if right now you're thinking, well, yes, I'm being tempted in some way. Maybe, well, all kinds of temptations come to us, especially when we're young, but they come when you're old as well. Don't be mistaken. But it could be all kinds. It could be sexual temptations. It could be honesty. Are you going to tell a lie or are you going to tell the truth? Are you going to steal? Will you be honest? Will you, do the right thing rather than the wrong thing? Temptation comes. Temptation. People will say, well, just do this. It's okay. No one will know. Sometimes if you're at work, they say, oh, just fill in your timesheet. Just put in the hours you didn't work and sign it. It'd be okay. No, everyone does it. It's okay. No, it's a temptation. Temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. People in the Old Testament were tempted or tested, weren't they? Well, Joseph, think about Joseph. Do you remember that story? Joseph, a servant in Potiphar's house in Egypt. Yeah? Potiphar had a wife, didn't he? Potiphar's wife rather fancied Joseph. So she said, oh, come on, let's do it. Husband's away, he won't know. He says, no, I can't do that. First of all, it's a sin. Secondly, I'm in a position of trust here. How can I betray the master's trust in me? It's all wrong. So he says, no. Finally, she grabbed him and he ran away. Sometimes that's the best thing to do, isn't it? Run. Unfortunately, I don't know, he had a bit of her clothing or something, didn't he? Anyway, husband came back and wife says, oh, he tried to rape me. So Joseph ends up in prison. So temptation come. Joseph said no. And he ended up in prison as a result. Sometimes you have to suffer for doing right. So Jesus said, blessed are those who suffer because of righteousness. Yeah? So what are you going to do? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So whatever way you're being tempted to sin, remember, it happens to everyone. It's not unique to you. You might think it is, but it isn't. It happens to all kinds of people, whatever that temptation is. So it's a universal experience, temptation to sin. I think it was Oscar Wilde who said, I can resist anything except temptation. I think so. He had a lot of interesting quotes, didn't he? I don't think he did resist temptation very often, actually, if you know his story. However, temptation comes to us all. I have had a different, you know, the testing kind of temptation just recently. Some of you know, I live in an old building, and it's a listed building. They're working on the roof at the moment. Ha, ha, ha. The scaffolding's up over the building. They're changing the tiles, the slates, etc. And it's just a two-story building. I'm on the upper floor, yeah? And guess what? Something fell. A lump of rock, a lump of masonry fell from the roof. And where did it fall? On my ceiling. Of my ceiling. It didn't go through the ceiling, thankfully, thank God. But what did it do? It knocked a big chunk of plaster off the ceiling. Boom! Well, you know what that's like. If you've had that happen, you know what it's like. If you've ever had to have a ceiling removed, you know what it's like. It's not just plaster, it's dirt, soot, grit, and it goes everywhere. It's horrible. So that's my test. And I'm thinking, Lord, it came down exactly where I normally sit. Wonderful, isn't it? I wasn't sitting there, thank God. No, that was a deliverance. I was standing a little way away, and suddenly this noise. There were lumps of plaster all over and the dirt. And so, what do I do? This test comes. How am I going to react? Well, I just have to thank God I wasn't under it. Thank God I actually got a place to live. Amazing, isn't it? And they're working on it as well, but doing it up. That's good. So we thank God for his deliverance, for his mercy, his grace. But I still have that test. They have come and put boards on the ceiling, okay? Had to take all the old ceiling down. Wonderful. I was out for the day. I made sure of that. Oh, dear. See, what I'm doing now, I'm complaining to you now, you see. It's good, isn't it? When you preach, it's a good chance to get things off your chest, isn't it? And you can't answer back, can you? You've got to sit there and listen. Terrible. I'm sure you'd like to do the same sometimes. I'm trying not to grumble, like the Bible says here. Don't grumble like they did. Don't grumble. I'm trying not to. So it's a test. So these different stages, the work, the boards are on the ceiling. Someone's coming in the week to plaster it. Later on, someone will come and decorate because there's dirt everywhere and there's been tape on the wall. They had, you know, polythene sheeting everywhere, taped to the walls. Oh, dear. And you know, when they take this, I'm having a grumble again. When they take the tape off the wall, they don't go like this, do they? No. It's like having, you know, like ladies have their legs done. Do you know? Yeah. I've never had it done, but I've seen it on the telly. Yeah, of course, yeah. You know what they do? They put a nice bit of sticky tape down the leg and then they go, whoop! I guess it hurts less that way. I don't know. But that's what they do. They're taking the tape off the wall. They go, phoom. I didn't see them, but it's obvious. That's what they've done. Because they haven't just taken paint off. They've taken the paper off the wall. And it's lovely, isn't it? And you think, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why? Try to be good. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe some of you are going through a test right now. It might be your health. It might be your home. It might be your family, your work, your car, your TV, all kinds of things go wrong in our lives. And we are being tested. We're being tested. And we don't like it, do we? We don't like to be tested. I'm trying to think of other people who were tested. I suppose you could say Abraham was tested when God said, I want you to take your son, you know, that lovely young guy called Isaac. I want you to take him away and sacrifice him. What? Human sacrifice? No. But Abraham said, okay, if that's what you want, I will. Can you imagine? Who would do that? Would you do that? No. Would I do it? If I had a son? No, probably not. But God said, he says, God tested Abraham. He tested him. How much do you trust me? Will you obey me when you can't see the point of it? Will you do it? And Abraham said, yes, I will trust you. I will obey you. And you know the story, of course, as he was about to kill him, the angel said, no, wait, don't. He says, now God knows that you really trust him. You will obey him, whatever he says. And what there was over in the thicket, in the bush, there was a ram caught. His horns were caught in the bushes. There's your offering. There's your sacrifice. And so they made an offering to God as a thanksgiving that God had spared Isaac, if you like. But Abraham was tested to the extreme. I don't think I could have done that. I don't think so. But he did. He did. So he says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. We'll go through tests in life. So maybe some of you can say, yes, I'm going through something right now. I've got a neighbor from hell next door who's annoying me all the time. He's playing music, loud music at midnight, or he's doing DIY in the middle of the night, or he's whatever he's doing. I've got a neighbor who's annoying, but I don't want to grumble about him. Not right now. He's annoying, though. I have to put up with it because I'm not going to change him. However, we're all tempted in different ways. You may be tested right now about your health. You think, well, I've got this condition, this problem, and it's causing me problems in this area and that area. How am I going to get through? Will I get through? Well, you say, first of all, it's nothing new. Whatever you're going through, other people have experienced. So that doesn't necessarily help you, but you know that it says God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So here the tempting can be either way. It could be temptation to sin, like Joseph. You say, well, God won't let you be tested more than you can bear. He'll always enable you to resist. If you choose to, you will be able to do it, he's saying. But these other kinds of testings, the same thing. You're being tested with some difficulty. He says, God is faithful. He won't let you be tested or tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So for me, in my flat at the moment, one of the ways out is to go out. Yeah. Go out for the day somewhere. There still are some nice places around you can go to. Go to the park. Have a snack in the park. Have a walk around, yes. Or you go to Croydon. explore the Whitgift Center or Central, or, you know, sit and have a coffee somewhere, you know. Meet your friends in Croydon. Yes, wonderful. So there's always a way out. There's always a way out. If you want to escape the temptation, there's a way out. God is faithful. God is faithful. So what are you facing today? Do you know that God is faithful? Will he see you through it if you trust him? That's what it's saying here, isn't it? God is faithful. He won't let you down, is what it's saying. So I don't think there's much more for me to say, really. I sort of said as much as I can say. I've grumbled to you, and you've been very patient and listened and laughed. But my problem's still there. It hasn't gone away by grumbling to you. So I have to learn how to deal with it. And whatever you're facing, you have to learn how to deal with it and ask God to help you. It's one place he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So be encouraged today. God is faithful. Whatever it is you're going through today, temptation to sin or being tested to the uttermost, but probably not. Whatever it is, trust God. He is faithful. So believe in him today. That's it. That's my message today, folks. Over and out.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Bishop, he says, huh? You won, right? We don't